Hello, my fine reader friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Books and Video Games Vodcast. On the show, I, Danielle, your host, sit down and talk about books or book-related topics while playing video games. Today's topic is one that I have been anticipating for a really long time. I've already posted two episodes in anticipation, and the anticipation has been going on way longer than those episodes. In fact, it's been going on probably over 10 years, and that is the Beauty and the Beast live-action remake from Disney. It came out just this past Friday, and was built up a lot. And honestly, I can see why. Lots of people were, like me, looking forward to seeing Emma Watson playing Belle. And I know that might not be the entire reason, but from where I sit, like from, you know, the things I've seen on the internet and stuff, that is the big reason that Emma Watson is playing Belle. So this episode is basically just going to be me talking about the film, why I liked it, why I didn't like it, and why. I'm not sure how long this is going to go, so this might be a two-part episode. Maybe it will even be a three-part. I'm not sure yet. But by the time this is out, you will know, so no worries there. So let's just jump right into it. Let me just say before I even start on anything that this podcast episode itself is not spoiler-free. I will be spoiling aspects of the movie, so if you're okay with that, please continue listening. If not, turn this off, see the film, and then come back, because I don't want to ruin your expectations or what you will think of this movie. So again, don't listen unless you're like, oh, I don't care. So let's just jump into it. So I'm going to give a blanket statement, and then I'm going to go into more depth as to why I feel the way I do about this film. So just to lump all my thoughts into one or two sentences, I can say the following. I think that Beauty and the Beast was a watered-down film that tried to add way too much and didn't give the audience room to breathe or really think about what they were watching. We wanted these things, but did we ever ask if we should have them? It's the question we're always asking, the moral question. And honestly, I'm sitting here now thinking, did I need this? I mean, if it wasn't made at this point, if it had never been announced, yeah, I would still desperately be wanting this movie. So I'm glad it came out, and I'm glad I got to see it. The experience of going to the theater was great, but was the movie great? Not really. And I'm gonna go into why I feel that way. And again, if you have been listening to my episodes previous to this, you know that my expectations weren't high. My hopes were high, but my expectations weren't. And the reason being is that you have to take Disney sequels or Disney remakes with a grain of salt. Sort of have to go into it either with a blank slate or saying, this is probably going to be bad. And honestly, I don't think that's like an unhealthy approach to take to these movies, because Disney is such a big corporation that they often will screw people over unnecessarily. They have tons of tools at their disposal to make great films, and they hire people who just can't seem to do that. So it's, or either they can seem to do that, but Disney has restrictions and then they can't. So it's never a win-win. But let's just get into it. On a high note, one of my favorite parts of the movie was during the song Something There, when Belle and the Beast have a snowball fight. I thought it was wonderful that the Beast, Belle throws a snowball at him, and then the Beast starts rolling up a snowball, and you see like the shock in Belle's face, like, oh my gosh, he's gonna throw this at me, and then he chucks it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, in that split second, oh, she's gonna duck and they're gonna continue, because that's how it happened in the original movie. But nope, that snowball hit her smack in the face. I'm probably gonna put the clip on the screen. It is hilarious. I was dying of laughter. It didn't help that I really had to go to the bathroom. Like, it was hilarious. Just the best part of the movie, in my opinion. Just so funny. So from the get-go, I want to put it out there that going into this, I sort of feared that Emma Watson would not perform very well in this movie. It was just a hunch I had. And let me state for the record that Emma Watson was not the problem with this movie. On the contrary, I thought she did rather well. And she was one of the strong points of the movie, so I really loved her as Belle. She is most certainly not the Belle in the animated movie, and I kind of like that. I like that we can separate the two from one another. The more separate they are, the better the movie is, which could be also why this movie isn't very good, and I'll get into that. But Emma Watson, like I said, she's not the movie's problem. She is wonderful to watch. Her singing, it's okay. I do sense a little auto-tune at times, but like that opening number of Belle and then the reprise of Belle was really good, but the reprise is one of my favorite songs, and it certainly delivered in this version as well. Still not quite as good. I think the orchestra was a bit more heightened in this, but which I love, but Emma Watson's singing can never be Paige O'Hara's, right? Let's just point out the obvious here. So the first thing I have in my notes is talking about the score of the film. So I bought the 2-disc CD for this movie before I went to see the movie. So when I got home after seeing it, I popped it in and started listening to the tracks. And when I go see a movie, like, I love movie scores. And so what will happen is when I'm watching a movie, if something stands out to me, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to go home and find where the score is. Like, I really want to listen to it. And so in my head, I always picture that moment so that when I go to the score, I try to recognize, like, the title of the track to see, like, oh, is this what stood out to me? And there was only one moment of that in this film. The score was either very dialed down or very generic action to just sort of, I guess, sort of heightened from the original. I mean, in the transformation scene, it's crazy how much they cut from the score in that. Like, yeah, they lengthen a little bit, but then when, like, the beast is transforming, there's all these epic moments in the score, and they just dial it down so much, and it really disappointed me. I was like, why are they doing this? Like, they were speeding it up for no reason, which again is my issue. Like, there's no room to breathe in this film. And, you know, I always find it laughable that movie makers have this opportunity to better the original source material, and especially the music. And I find so often that remakes or anything like this, they just always fall flat. Even, like, the finale, I was so excited to hear that gorgeous finale where the chorus is singing Beauty and the Beast. And it was just like, I was so excited because Audra McDonald started singing, which I'm gonna get to her. I am mad about her. But anyway, Audra McDonald was singing Beauty and the Beast, probably the best moment of the movie. And then Emma Thompson sings, and then they're dancing, and then they start singing the finale song, Beauty and the Beast. And I was like sitting there like, oh my gosh, like, I really thought this would be built up so well, like sort of like a Les Miserables One Day More. And it wasn't. It was not powerful at all. And like, am I the only one who noticed this? Like, I don't understand how hard it is to hire singers who can give that power to your music. It just was so lacking. And I don't understand how hard it is to do that. Like, it's not that hard, especially when you have tons of money, like, to do these things. Justify the remake somehow, please. Like, please. Like, it makes me a little frustrated that all this money goes toward a movie that we really don't need, right? We don't need movies. Like, I love movies, but all this money that's put into Hollywood and all this stuff, it's sort of unnecessary. And so, please, Hollywood, just justify the reason you spend tons of money by making it legitimately good. And they can't even do that. It's just, ugh. You know, let's just talk about Audra McDonald right now. And before I even get into Audra McDonald, let me talk about the diversity in this movie. So, Disney loves to crack me up. Loves to crack me up. I mean, they do. Because they crack me up. Because they claim to be, oh, so diverse. But watching this movie made me realize that the Hollywood agenda is in fact real. And again, I consider myself to be a liberal. I am for gay marriage. Like, absolutely. Like, I am all types of liberal, and like when I say gay marriage because of the issues, or not issues, the subject matter brought up about this movie, which we'll get into in a second. But if you're gonna have a movie with LGBT characters, Disney, make it Moana. Don't make it Beauty and the Beast. Because here's why. Beauty and the Beast is a story unto itself. It has nothing to do with that subject matter. So don't make it about that subject matter. The movie tried to do too much already. If they had even added a bigger storyline of an LGBT character, it would have made no sense to the movie. Like, that's not... A Game of Thrones can do that, but this is a Disney remake. They can't do it. Like, that's not Disney's realm. They want it to be their realm, but it's just not. And it doesn't work like that. To say that your movie is diverse and you're so high and mighty is ridiculous. They're like, oh, we're so diverse. We have a gay character. We're representing the LGBT group, which is so stupid because it's like, yeah, your first LGBT character is... His name literally translates to the fool. The fool. Yeah, great representation. The LGBTQ character is a fool. Like, wonderful. That's great. And not only that, but, like, it was kind of funny because I was sitting with my friends and my one friend turned to me and she's like, oh, look, they have one black character. They're diverse now. I'm like, how many black people did we see in this movie? There were a few, but not many. So Disney, don't go on saying you're so diverse. Because if you were so diverse, you would have freaking cast Audra McDonald in the role of Mrs. Potts. I am so mad that she was not cast in that role. Because, Disney, you have two choices. Either cast somebody to play Mrs. Potts who can sing well and also act, or cast somebody to play Mrs. Potts who's very good at acting but will not sing the iconic main song titled after the movie in the movie, and then have somebody else sing it who's really good. If you're gonna remake a movie that is praised by almost everybody and remake that iconic song, living up, making it even better than Angela Lansbury, you better do something amazing. And they didn't. They hired Emma Thompson, who is a fabulous actress, but can't sing. She falls flat. I couldn't believe it when I was watching that scene, and I was like, I'm deleting this song from my iTunes library, because I had already copied the CD over to my iTunes. So I was like, when I get home, I'm deleting this. Like, this sucks. Why would I want to listen to Emma Thompson singing? It sounds so flat. Mrs. Potts' part in Be Our Guest was my favorite part. And when she got to that in the film, Emma Thompson just, she sounds so flat. The best part of the movie, like I said, was not only the snowball scene, but when Audra McDonald gets that moment to sing a bit of Beauty and the Beast. I've listened to that over and over again after I've gotten home from the theater. It is gorgeous, and I don't quite understand why they wouldn't make that choice. It makes no freaking sense. Why, Disney? If you're gonna make a remake, try at least to make it better. And in the ways they tried to make it better, it wasn't better. It made it 10 times worse. Not because of the material they tried to include, but because they didn't approach it well. They tried to do too much that made no sense to the story. It wasn't, the original film was so tight, and, you know, even I told myself, and I forgot to mention this in the beginning, that I wanted to talk about this movie without really referencing the original, because say the original never existed. If this was what we got in 1991, this would not be a good movie still. Like, it wouldn't... I'm sure there'd be people out there who would love it. There are people out there who love this remake. Like, I've seen them. But I don't think it would be considered the classic that the animated movie is. And I'm very bothered by that. But you know what? let's cut it off for this this part. This will be part one, and we'll just jump into part two. So I'll put a little link at the end of this video to continue on listening. If you like me, if you like what I do, go ahead and subscribe to this channel, and go like me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, wherever social media, Instagram. I love posting pictures. And go visit my blog, www.keepcalmreadonblog.com. I post tons of content there, not just books and video games, but a ton of other stuff, so go check it out. And that's about it from me, so continue on to part two for the rest of my thoughts on Beauty and the Beast.